This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Well, I'm personally thrilled to be in Melbourne today because the possibilities of what might come out of this rally are hugely important. The best thing about coming out as a gay person is, of course, that your life utterly changes. And one way it changes is that you make connections with people whose lives you know nothing about, but you know that they have a connection with your own. And that's why I hope you think it's appropriate that four foreigners should come along to get involved in Australian politics. We don't know anything about the complications of federal government as opposed to state law, but what's obvious to me is that there's a matter of principle here, and therefore it's a principle that foreigners can have a say in. I, in my time, have lobbied President Mandela to change the laws in South Africa. I've been involved in gay rights marches all over the place, and in the United Kingdom with Stonewall have helped to change laws considerably for the better there. And it's all done on the simple principle that gay people are all born unique, but we are all born equal with the rest of the population, and the law simply must not discriminate. Establishing a non-discrimination law, establishing the right for gay people to be married, would cost the Australian government nothing financially, and it would gain for you worldwide respect from people like us, and of course would change lives enormously, the lives of gay people and of their friends and of their families, and therefore of Australia as a whole. I hope you are totally successful and you have my total support. Lots of love.
Well, that was Sir Ian McKellen there addressing the Equal Love Rally, which we've just had here in Melbourne. I was there on the stage emceeing, and also Corey Erlin was there. He was one actually wheeling Sir Ian in and out very rapidly, I have to say. Good morning, Corey. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Doug. Good morning, listeners. Can I just say what an amazingly inspirational man Sir Ian McKellen is?
You may, and I don't think anyone will disagree with you.
You know, when I approached him, it was actually with consciously in my mind the fact that he was on stage at 2 o'clock, and he said, look, we understand you won't be able to come, but we'd love to get a message of support for you. And he wrote back himself. He didn't flick it to a PA. He wrote back himself, and he said, no, we'll be there. We just had to be out by 1:15. And by the way, I'm bringing the cast with me and the director. and I went through the cast list, and I was almost doubly as surprised and equally as excited to find that somebody from The West Wing, one of my favourite shows, was there, Roger Reed, who played Lord Mowbray. So it was a very great day for us to have somebody of that calibre there talking about not only equal marriage but also the need for federal anti-discrimination laws.
Yeah, well, I want to get to that in a moment, but first off, I want to get your take on, you know, where is this equal marriage campaign going? Because it seems to me, rather like the march itself, it's going around in a great big circle at the moment and not really progressing anywhere.
Well, I think going around in a circle was better than walking just down the street to the river. You know, you've got to spice it up somehow. It might have been a bit long this time. Look, I think that when it comes to any campaign that has been successfully on the streets year in, year out for 6 years running, and then in their sixth year, which is this year, during an election, they choose to make it not just a national day of action, but a national year of action. So we've been on the streets every 3 months. It's always going to be a little tiresome. There are some new and wonderful things that the Equal Love and National Year of Action campaigns have been doing, such as having a clip for last year's events talking about what the needs were. This year we've seen comedians come on board. It was just announced yesterday that Will Anderson will host the next rally on August 14 in Sydney, flying right off the back of Joss Thomas coming out and doing a fundraiser on Equal Love down here in Melbourne. So there are lots of little things happening, but the reality is, this, unfortunately, isn't going to change at the next election. It's vitally important that we make it an issue. It's going to hurt people like Lindsay Tanner and Tanya Plibersek during the election because the Greens support it, who are their biggest threat in their particular electorates. But it's not going to have somebody come out and say at the election, yes, we'll do equal marriage. It will keep the pressure up. It will hurt them at the polls. It will then move into the ALP conference in 2012. We'll see more and more traction in this next year. So it's a gradual process.
Well, you know, it's a bit slow for my taste, but
Doug, you don't like marching, just like I don't.
Now, I mean, progress on this issue is slower than I would like. I mean, I would like to see some Labour senators or members breaking ranks on this, you know, before the election.
We have seen that. It just doesn't get much coverage.
You know, crossing the floor, et cetera, et cetera. But, of course, that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Sorry, I've got to pull you up on this, right?
All right.
And I'm not going to defend the Labour Party because I don't like doing that. But if you reckon that those left-leaning, supportive same-sex marriage Labour senators should cross the floor, what is there to bind the right-wing conservative Labour senators from doing the exact same thing when it comes to things like gay marriage, gay parenting, and its party policy? Okay? We got passed in 2007 recognition of same-sex families as parents in the Family Law Act. Now, if we had a willy-nilly party that was crossing the floor left, right and centre, I don't think we would have got that through because it happened by one vote because the Libs didn't support it.
So you reckon the strict party discipline actually works in our favour?
I reckon it works in a double-edged sword. It works in our favour sometimes and it works against us some other times. The reality is that we know what we're dealing with.
Right. Okay. Well, let's leave marriage for a moment because I know one thing that the coalition has been focusing on very much is the question of an anti-discrimination law, federal anti-discrimination law, and you were very disappointed.
I think outrage was the words that I used all those weeks ago when I first found out.
You're not happy. You're not happy with the government's. So far, they haven't actually said outright they're going to tackle anti-gay discrimination. They've merely said some kind of weird formula of words about they're going to look at the gaps that exist and blah, blah, blah. Yes? Do you think that's just them sort of trying to tip the wink to us that they will do it while not tipping their hand to the other side who would oppose it?
Look, there's a lot of optimistic feelings that I may have. We have the member for Melbourne, Minister Lindsay Tanner, sitting on the review panel. That's always a positive when you've got somebody who has a very heavily LGBTI electorate. It presents a range of opportunities for us. But the government has not just said, oh, yeah, well, we know we've been talking about it for 15 years. We know that we've had three inquiries that have said you should do something about this. But you know what? We're going to do a fourth, and we're still not going to guarantee that that fourth inquiry will be the end of it. Not only have they done that to talk about sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination laws, but when they got a very specific and absolute recommendation from the Senate inquiry into the Sex Discrimination Act that said to them they should update the status of marital status to include relationship status and remove the discrimination faced by same-sex couples in the Sex Discrimination Act, they went, yeah, you know what? Don't think we're going to, because there's some problems in the private sector that it might create and some problems that it might create in state laws. Now, I don't know whether private sector means religious groups these days or whether private sector means superannuation funds who haven't updated their changes because they're not required to, but I don't really care which private sector is going to get upset because there's a protection from discrimination because I'm related to my partner. The irony of it, though, and this is how ironic it becomes in federal politics. While they won't protect us for being in a same-sex relationship, they will protect our relationship status for being a parent-child relationship in a same-sex-headed family. Go figure.
Yeah. Now, we're getting a lot of these kind of inconsistencies, though, aren't we? Because, you know, on the one hand, they've brought out, let's change the subject slightly here. On the one hand, they've brought out all this strategy about men's health and mental health and all the rest
of it. And big kudos for them to identify gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender as a priority area there.
Yes. But on the other hand, they haven't carried that all the way through either, have they?
How so?
The isn't there some kind of a gap here? Didn't I understand that they've got it in one part of their strategy and not in another part of their strategy?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read the full detail of the draft, but I can say to you that the fact that it's in their strategy, in conversations that I've had with departments and with backbenchers and ministers in only the 3 weeks it's been out, has been noted, has been referenced, has been mentioned as an example of how this can be utilised in other areas. So if it's inconsistent, and I'm not sure that it is, that's probably a bad thing. It could be fixed up at some point, but it still is a very strong indicator that this can be done in this area.
It seems like the only way we actually get progress, sometimes to me anyway, is when we frame our issues in terms of health. I mean, all this business with the AFL and so on has all been framed in terms of mental health issues, and that's been a great kind of sledgehammer to crack the nut and has actually got them tackling homophobia.
But they've also tackled it because of human rights.
Yeah, but the key thing that got them moving was when you framed it as a health issue. And this was the tactic we had to use with the Howard government, because they wouldn't talk to us on anything else. That's how the National LGBTI Health Alliance got founded in the first place, as a kind of backdoor way of getting our issues into government, wasn't it?
Well, no, the National LGBTI Health Alliance got founded by a range of foundation members, mainly the AIDS Council's HIV, hepatitis, STI bodies around the state, Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, as saying that we want to be able to engage the federal government. And in all honesty, it was started to be created when it looked like there was going to be a Labor government coming into power to get ready for that, to be able to engage in a proper way. It wasn't funded by government. It still hasn't been funded by government.
Now, that was going to be my next question. What's the chances? Because, I mean, they've put out this whole thing about wanting, you know, we don't have a minister, we don't have a reference group, we don't have advisory groups, we don't... What are our chances of getting any of that?
Look, I think that there's been some really good progress made during the 2007-2008 same-sex law reform in having things like the Interdepartmental Committee on the Removal of Same-Sex Discrimination, and it puts a very solid case for productively working together to have a ministerial advisory committee. To jump that to the next level of funding a peak body that hasn't delivered a range of services and is still fairly new in its inception, that wasn't set up by the government specifically for that purpose to be a peak body on their behalf of engaging to the community, that's probably going to be a little challenging for this election. I think it will happen one day, but I'm not sure it's going to happen in the next 12 months.
What are we going to get promised in the election, if anything, do you think?
Let's see what the marginals come down and when he calls it, because if he keeps on going down in the polls, Prime Minister Rudd probably won't let us anything get mentioned to us other than Lindsay Tanner being wheeled out to say, hi, we love you.
I don't think that's going to be quite enough.
Nor do I. And I really do think that the Labor government runs a risk of being outflanked, obviously not only by the Greens, but also by the Liberal Party. Kevin Rudd hasn't come out and said that we agree in principle support for anti-discrimination legislation. Tony Abbott did it here on your show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting election, and I've no doubt we'll be talking to you a great many times in the course of it, because you're going to be in the thick of it, aren't you? You're going to be stirring the possum everywhere.
Well, I have a confession, and publicly announced first on your show. I will be out of the country between the 2nd of July and the 20th of August, but if the election is called during then, I have my laptop, I have my internet connection, and I will be coming to you live from Europe.
Okay, we'll look forward to it. Thank you for coming in this morning, Corey.
Always a pleasure, Doug.
It's Corey Earlham there from the Australian Coalition for Equality. You're listening to Freshly Doug on Joy 94.9. My name's Doug Pollard.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.